Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Good morning, diarrhea!
It's time to wake up. It's 5, and we're live.
Oh, is this thing on? I don't care. I want him to hear.
This is the pregame show, your early morning shot of sports. Now, here's your host, Matt Kolsky.
Come on!
Good morning. And hello again. Obviously, I am not Matt Kolsky. I am Stephen Langford, and alongside me, again, as always, Anna Kagarakis.
Good morning. Are we going to say happy morning or good morning to the pre-dawners?
Yes,
out
yeah.
There?
So it's a happy pre-dawn is what we use so far. But Matt keeps thinking that it's somehow going to be light outside.
Not till June.
At some point during this shift. I mean, even in June, I don't know, from 5 to 6. I'm looking outside right now. I don't know. It'll never be light, ever.
Be so, a little dusk.
Maybe.
Little color change.
Maybe. Then we'll have to rebrand our whole opening instead of saying happy pre-dawn. But good morning to you and happy Monday if there's ever a happy Monday. There are happy Mondays, right?
Sure. We're alive. It's all good. We'll stay positive.
There you go.
We made it to another day.
We did. And we are all happy because the Warriors went 2-0 over the weekend, and as I am currently looking on the computer, on the station computer now, do you want to see the last two things that are popped up on the tabs?
Ooh, that's always fun.
There are two Wikipedia tabs open.
Okay.
One is Dwayne Wade.
Okay.
The other is Gabrielle Union.
Yeah, that's a good combo there.
Do you think that was pertinent to the Warriors post-game show yesterday? Was
100%.
It they got some Gabby Union takes in there?
Hey, she is a Pleasanton native, so she is here from the Bay Area.
Really?
You didn't know that?
No.
Really? You're from the East Bay. You're from near that area.
Really?
Yeah, so she's from, I think she went to Amador Valley High School.
Wow.
You did not know that, huh? Gabby Union.
I'm looking at it right now. Wow.
Your mind is just completely blown.
I had
right
no
now.
Idea. I had no idea.
Maybe that's why Dwayne Wade got a standing ovation last night at Oracle. Oh, no, maybe because of the 15-year career.
It might be the
maybe
15-year career.
Just a portion of it.
But the Warriors did end up getting the win last night, 120 to 118. And it was a good one. The thing about last night, Anna, was that the Heat before last night were 3 games under .500. Now they're 4. And they brought their A game last night. They pretty much did all they could do. Like, let's hear me out here.
Okay.
Team A, I'm going to give you two options here, right?
Mm-hmm.
Team A went 18 for 43 from three.
Okay.
Team B went 13 for 36.
Ooh, that doesn't sound good.
Team A had 52 rebounds, 21 of which were offensive. Team B had 36 rebounds, 7 of which were offensive.
Okay.
Then Team A had 32 assists, while Team B had 28. The Warriors were Team B and beat a mediocre team with mediocre stats.
Yeah, that was a surprise last night. All of a sudden, you're looking up and you're just seeing that all of a sudden they're down, 19 points in the first quarter?
Yeah.
Just sitting there thinking, this is not the Warrior team against the Heat. You're thinking this is maybe a team that when they're just kind of sitting back against like somebody like the Thunder, who's a good team. But usually they show up for those games. Now they didn't seem to show up, and then they eventually did. And KD was clutch in this game.
Yeah, at the end of the first quarter, they were down 34 to 24. Overall, they were 9 for 24 from the field, 2 for 10 from 3. But it was the start of the game that was a little interesting.
Yeah.
And it started out, you got KD open from mid-range. You got KD going through the lane for a dunk, and it was 4-0 early. And you're like, oh, no, this is going to be a snoozer of a game. The Warriors are going to dominate, probably. And then the Heat go on a 22-2 run, but Do you know, you want to know what those 2 points were?
Which ones?
This one.
Cousins looks at a three, leaves the ball for Thompson. He'll take a top of the key pass, hit Whiteside in the head. Caroms over to Thompson. It's up and good.
Those were the 2 points, was the assist off of the head.
Did he get an assist for that one?
I think he should.
Yeah.
Should he get an assist off that?
I think so. He touched him, right?
I mean, that's the whole
point. Is that a part of the rules? Does it have to be in his hands, or could it be just off a body?
I think it can be off the body.
Oh, there you go, then.
I have to look at the rule book specifically. But Thompson ended up ending the night scoring 29 points on 11 of 21 shooting, 6 for 13 from deep. And that first quarter, it was interesting because you pretty much had a sense of everything in that game. And that was the starting lineup didn't come out too hot. Curry, he's been terrible in these first quarters for the past 4 games. I think Anthony Slater had it. He's like 1 for 14 from the field or something like that, or maybe from 3 in the first quarter in the past 4 games. And they got off to a slow start. And the only thing that was giving them life was the lineup with Quinn Cook, Sean Livingston, Kevin Durant, Kevon Looney, and Jonas Jerebko.
Yeah. Jonas Jerebko last night, just watching him on the floor, he was fun to watch. He's been showing up lately.
Yeah.
Maybe it's the addition of the new baby in his life or just need to get out, but he has been showing up really well for this team.
I think he was plus 22 at the end of the night against the Suns last night. I'm looking it up now. The one thing that was telling was that the Warriors, all their starting lineup was in the bottom half of the plus minus while their starters were all in the positive, and Jonas Jerebko was plus 18 last night.
Yeah, sometimes these guys, when they get that opportunity, they really show up because you have the starters who are out there, and they haven't had that little extra energy. They haven't had that little extra urge. But now when you have some of the guys that really need to show up, the bench players, they really want to get out there and just kind of make a case for themselves. And they're doing that right now.
And one guy who I mentioned earlier, he got off to a slow start, was Steph Curry. But his shooting brought them back into it.
Draymond with a rebound. Over to Curry. Three on the way. Got it! We're tied at 51. The first tie of the game.
And Curry ended up totaling 25 points on 9 of 18 shooting last night and went 5 for 10 from deep. What was that Dwayne Wade quote you were talking about earlier with that one lineup, specifically regarding Steph, KD, Klay, Draymond, and DeMarcus Cousins?
Yeah, he said with adding DeMarcus Cousins that this is as good as it gets in our game with any team ever to play this game. That is as good as it gets when it comes to a starting five. That is why they are who they are, and that is why they are champions.
Now, do you want to know their plus minus combined after these last 2 games with the Suns and the Heat? It's at minus 37.
Really?
With that lineup.
That is shocking, actually.
Yeah.
That is completely shocking. And you would think that, I mean, it doesn't look like it when they're out there.
In their first 8 games, they are currently minus 4 with an offensive rating of 115.6, meaning they're scoring 115 points per 100 possessions, while the defensive rating is 117.4, which is really not all that great. But they still managed to squeak out the win. So even without their best lineup of all time playing up to standards, they're still getting the job done.
Yeah, and with that Andre Iguodala last night, who was out with a tight hamstring. So they obviously missed him, too, on the court last night, especially in that bench unit. So they ended up, that's what's amazing about this team, is how they end up squeaking out wins when they don't play the top of their game.
Now, one guy last week who we were harping on, text line, you can hit it up, 95795 if you want. Chilton Autobody text line, or you can give us a call at 888-957-9570. But last week, we were harping on the KD post-game press conference and talked about that. Didn't talk about the game against the Spurs with their 49-point third quarter. But last night, Kevin Durant showed you why he is probably the most dangerous offensive weapon in the NBA. He finished the night with 39 points, going 16 for 24. He only went 1 for 7 from 3, but the one thing that was going was his mid-range.
Here's Durant, raises up, contested jumper, rounded home. He's 10 of 12 from twos, and the Warriors lead 79-76, KD with 22.
Hear that, 10 of 12 from twos. Actually, he ended 10 of 11 from mid-range.
Oh, really?
Yeah. So, what Durant does offensively to help this team, there's sometimes when the Warriors offense just isn't clicking at all and it feels like they have to just give Durant the ball and let him go. That's pretty much what they did toward the end of that first quarter with that lineup of Quinn Cook and Sean Livingston and Jonas Jerebko. And the team needs KD in these moments to help them even try to compete with a team like the Heat. The Heat were shooting at an unbelievable pace. Let me pull up the stats here. In the first half, Josh Richardson was 5-for-7 from three, while Deion Waiters was 4-for-5 from three. And the Warriors hadn't even made more than two. And so in these moments, you need Kevin Durant to step up in the mid-range where he's most dangerous.
Well, that's why so many teams are talking about him in free agency. That's why you see teams like the Knicks putting his picture out there for their season ticket holders to see, because they want him. That's why everybody wants him right now. He is the guy that has the late-game heroics. He is the sniper. And that's why he's so coveted right now.
Man. Go back to that.
He
was on the Knicks.
There was a picture on the it was like a season ticket.
It was a season ticket renewal, wasn't it?
Exactly. Saying like, hey, here's a picture with Kevin Durant. He's in there. And it's just the idea of he's not in a Knicks uniform or anything, but it's like, hey, maybe it's a little bit. He could be coming here. Do you want to see him?
I saw the picture and I don't know who that other Knicks player is, but I know who KD is. And see, now last week he's blaming like the media talking about we don't know anything about the Knicks. The Knicks are putting him on their season ticket renewal. What?
Wishful thinking.
That's
just wishful thinking maybe for them.
But how sad do you have to be as an organization to be doing that? To not even use any players because none of them are marketable now?
One of two things. That it's either that they know something we don't and he's going there, or it's just that they really are a sad organization, really trying their best, and it's not going to work out.
Is this just like one of those situations where if you're, you know, talking to like a girl and she's, you know, you're kind of like, you're on the edge of like dating but not dating, and you're just saying, yeah, we're dating, and you're just going to continue to say all these things like, yeah, we're actually talking. We're in a good place right now. And you keep on acting as if that's happening when really on the other side, she's like, nah.
Those are just a sad situation. Sometimes it's good to be confident. When you go out there confident, a girl really likes that. And then they might be like, all right, this could work out. Let's take the chance. But then sometimes when you're too overconfident, and then it's just like, no, this ain't working out.
Yeah. So the Warriors, they haven't been as hot as normal in the third quarter. But last night, they were back to their old Dubcon three ways, if you want to put it that way. And then I got to give them credit. They stayed in there stayed in there the whole time.
Pestering them.
Yeah. Bam Adebayo, he on the defensive end, he was pretty monstrous. And then Hassan Whiteside, I want to get into that after this segment, but what a waste of talent if you can't close out the game with Hassan Whiteside. Mm-hmm. But anyway, Kevin Durant was the star in the fourth quarter, and this was the big shot to tie it up.
Durant catches, takes the top of the key. It's a three. He's open, fires, and ties it just like that with 42.7 to go. We're tied at 118. It's his first three of the night. What a shot.
And in the closing moments of the game, there was a terrible inbounds pass by Draymond Green, which led to a Richardson dunk.
Richardson was on fire, by the way.
Yeah, he was. Let me pull up
37 career high points last night.
Yeah, 14-for-22, 8-of-11 from three. See, you're not going to get any sort of performance like that against any other team because he's so motivated when you got the best 3-point shooters in the world on the opposite side of the floor. So anyway, Kevin Durant, he took it out after that Richardson dunk. Three seconds separating the shot and game clock. Misses the three. Even though I thought it was a double dribble, did you think it was a double dribble?
You saw the other coach calling for it.
You saw the fans calling for it, and I looked back at it, I think it might have been a double dribble.
Got a little lucky there.
Yeah. And then he ended up missing the three. Cousins goes up for the offensive rebound. He may not have had the best game of all time, but in the closing minutes, closing second, he showed up big for the reason that he was brought over here for, which was to get a big on the spot.
Oh, yeah, he did.
Yeah. And then Deion Waiters ended up missing the three, leading to the end of the game.
Miami with the ball. They have to inbound it. They're out of timeouts. Winslow, far hash mark, waiting. Coming across will be Richardson in the corner. They throw it into Waiters. Finally, with 4 seconds, driving on Draymond. Takes a contested three. Missed it. Tip. Horn. Game over. Golden State escapes with a win.
Escapes with a win.
You know, you said something that really kind of just kind of pushed the button there. You have these teams, these mediocre teams who come out here and they play their hardest. You have these players who don't, you know, you don't may not know their names. And all of a sudden they play for something because they're going up against Golden State. That's something that's the good thing about this team is when you watch these other teams really show up.
Right.
And I just find it fascinating when you see some of these guys make their play their hardest when it comes to the Warriors.
Well, you know, in these, you know for a fact that these mediocre teams are going in with the mentality like, hey, we can beat this best team in the world. I mean, even though there's a chance we might not make the playoffs going down the stretch, and this game might not have any make any sort of difference in terms of standings or conference or whatever, it doesn't make a difference. I mean, they just come in and say, hey, I mean, we're going to try and beat them at their own game, which is what the Heat tried to do last night. What did the Heat shoot? They had like 18 threes. Yeah. What are you supposed to...
Like, this is
Are they
going to
do that against any other squad than the Warriors? I don't think so, because they're just jacking up threes like there's no tomorrow.
It's just amazing to see what this team can do and what this team brings out of everybody else around the league. But nobody else can compete when it comes to in the long run.
So we are going to hear from Steve Kerr, Kevin Durant, and Draymond Green coming back. There was a text I wanted to read before we get to break. From the 408, what about the AAF, which drew 2.9 million viewers on Saturday, which was more than the NBA?
Goes to show you that football is still king.
Yeah, it is. And we'll actually get into that a little later. I want to get Lowe's thoughts on that because I think Lowe is involved in the AAF, or at least I know for a fact he watched it. So we'll get his thoughts, and we'll talk about the AAF a little bit. I actually watched a few. I watched a few minutes. I'm not going to act like I watched like an entire game because I had a.
You were not entrenched really into it.
No, I wasn't. I went into it a Salt Lake Stallions fan, a Salt Lake City Stallions fan, and but I'm going to switch teams. That's the beauty of the AAF is you don't have to have like a favorite team that you're tied to. You could just switch them.
You don't have an alliance, so you can just go ahead and pick who you want.
My alliance is the alliance, the Alliance of American Football.
The entire alliance.
All right, we'll be right back. Stephen Langford, Anna Kagarakis in for Matt Kolsky here on 95.7 The Game.
Now back to the pregame show on 95.7 The Game. Here's Stephen Langford.
That's just, I'm never going to get used to that. Anna.
It sounds great.
Does it?
Yes. Stephen Langford.
Don't be fooled. It's still Matt Kolsky's show.
You've made it.
Stephen Langford and Anna Kagarakis are in with you. We'll be in tomorrow as well. We're actually going to get word from Mr. Matt Kolsky coming up in the next segment, see how his trip's going. And I actually want to get his thoughts on Robin Lopez, because he was a big Bulls guy. Kolsky's obviously a big Chicago anything. So, I mean, Robin Lopez seems to be the number one buyout candidate.
Lots of candidates. Well, it's starting to thin at this point right now. The buyout candidates are starting to thin out there.
And that's what I want to get into with you in a little bit.
You got it.
But right now, the pregame show is presented by Golden State Lumber. Join Golden State Lumber for Golden Mornings at the Building Bar for a coffee meet and greet with our product experts. Visit goldenstatelumber.com for dates and more information. You good at building stuff? Paul good at building stuff?
Paul's really good at building stuff. My husband Paul is very good at building things. He actually did build a planter box.
Really?
Like I know Kolsky has just done recently, but he did build a nice one. We painted it green and everything and put some nice veggies in there.
Put some veggies in there?
Oh, yeah. You got to have the veggies.
Nice. From the 925, the AAF had a nice debut, but is it sustainable? It will be an afterthought before you know it. And I can almost agree with that.
Yeah. Kind of like the XFL.
Yeah. I think it was Damon who had a solid tweet. I think it was, he had a solid tweet. Really good tweet.
He usually does.
Yeah, yeah. I just think it's weird just calling any tweet solid. But he did have a good point, and he said that the XFL, its ratings were higher at one point in their first week of the season. Let's see what happens in the fourth week.
Well, because it's exciting because it's something new.
Yeah.
Let's check it out, see what differences they have, and see if, you know, which players they can bring in there that, you know, are kind of the shuns. I don't know. That's the thing that's hard about this whole thing is that there are the best of the best is in the NFL.
Right.
And then you have these teams, you have the end of, you know, the mediocre teams that everybody makes fun of, like the Browns were before. The Browns have improved, obviously, a lot this year, as we saw with the Dibs foot massage, obviously, mm-hmm. that went down. But you have a lot of players that you feel like don't make it in the NFL. So now they're the cast-offs in these type of leagues. So how will it make it with these guys? But then you have guys like Kurt Warner who actually have made it, you know, who was bagging groceries and, you know, stocking shelves and ended up coming back to win a Super Bowl.
Yeah. It would be really cool if a player resurrected his career mm-hmm. through the AAF. For the 510, the Dubs got away with one. The ref could have called a double. Excuse me. It's a tough one. Ref could have called a double dribble on Kevin Durant at the end of the game, which is what you saw before the DeMarcus Cousins offensive rebound. You can hit up the Chilton Auto Body text line at 95795. Anna, we already sort of mentioned this in the first segment, but again, was that a double dribble? Did the Warriors really get away with it?
They got away with a little something.
They might have.
And if you're upset about it, you can call the Beef Line, which will be on today on the Joe Lo and Dibs show at 7:30. That's 415-403-8588.
Ooh-hoo-hoo.
A little drop in there.
Promotion. Again, 7:30, 415-403-8588. Hint, I'm the one that records and mm-hmm. edits all of them, so please let them be good. But the game would have been tied at 118 overall had Kevin Durant been called for the double dribble. And you know what? Who's to say that the Heat could have pulled away with it?
Yeah, but you know what happens when the Warriors go into overtime? All of a sudden, they shut things down lately. So yeah. I think they would have been just fine going into overtime. But the fact that it got to that point against the Heat, against a mediocre team, it wasn't their game. They were being out-rebounded. They were being outshot from the three. So it just wasn't their type of game last night.
And one thing that wasn't up to par for the Warriors was their first quarter. And here's Draymond Green talking about the early game struggles.
I mean, my honest opinion, you know, it's the dog days right now. Like, we haven't, you usually hit that in January. We haven't really hit that because we got DeMarcus back, and so it kind of gave us an extra boost. But we found a way to win both of them, and that's what's important.
So maybe these early game struggles are a product of them just playing in the finals for the past 4 years, and they're just tired, and maybe the All-Star break is much needed and it needs to come sooner.
We only have two games. We have 2 games left until the All-Star break. These guys are just trying to push to the finish line right now to get there. So, yeah, it's completely understandable that right now they aren't playing to their tip-top, you know, their tip-top game at the point.
And Kevin Durant, again, with the monster game from the 510, or the 925, rather. KD's showing again why he's the best closer in the league. Do you think there is anyone that would have objected to his decision to just take the ball out in the last seconds of the game and not even pass it to Steph, or and just take it for himself? Or do you think that, I don't know, maybe they should have set up a play where Steph was going to get the three, because it was obvious that when KD took it out that it was going to be his shot?
Well, that's the thing. That's where a lot of the Warrior fans have a little... You have some Warrior fans out there saying, oh, he plays too much ISO. It's all about him. But he is a game closer. He is so good at that. There are times I think it is good when he sets it up to give it to Steph. But when he does what he does, this is what he does best. So give him the ball.
Yeah, and when he's in the post and he's just backing down whatever defender, it didn't matter whether it was Bam Adebayo or Josh Richardson, he was just shooting right over him. If you, Anthony Slater, if you go to The Athletic and go to his 5 observations, he posts, I think he posts every one of the mid-range jumpers that KD shot, and there was one of them that was uncontested and was open. And other than that, he was unstoppable last night. And here's Steve Kerr talking about KD's performance, even after last week's kerfuffle with the media.
You know, he's one of the best players in the world, and unbelievably talented, and he just plays. He loves the game. He loves to play and lose himself in the game, and I thought he did a great job of that tonight.
And Kevin Durant, he ended up finishing with 39 points on 16 for 24 shooting, and he was only 1 for 7 from 3, but Clay and Steph, well, Clay was 6 for 13 and Steph was 5 for 10. Yeah. Here's Steve Kerr. talking about the performance of Thompson and Curry.
I just thought Kevin carried us for much of that game. He was tremendous, you know, huge three down the stretch, several big shots in the fourth. And Clay, I thought, carried us, you know, early in that fourth quarter. We really weren't playing very well, but he made a few big shots just to kind of keep the momentum going.
And that's what makes this team so dangerous, is that Clay, Steph, KD, DeMarcus, even Jerebko last night, if one player is down, then another player will pick them up.
Well, that's why Dwayne Wade said that this is the best starting five. And that's what makes this team so lethal. And that's what makes them, you know, the favorites to win again in the championship, because they are so good and they are scary. But it goes to show you that this team shows up when it's time to show up.
And we haven't seen the best of this starting five. Has there been a nickname for the lineup yet? Have we dubbed one for this lineup with...
No, I know there's like a Boogie Down type of thing, or we haven't gotten anything like a Hamptons Five, like anything hardcore like that. Mm. But there needs to be something out there. But you can hit us up on the text line if you want, 95795.
We need to create something original. Mm-hmm. All I got right now is the all-star lineup. That's all I could think of.
Yeah,
but
that's exciting.
We haven't... Right?
Sarcasm.
Terrible. But we haven't even...
Better than I had right now.
We haven't even seen the best of them. They are still in the negative in a plus minus. They're at minus four right now in their first eight games. And they are a combined minus 37 in the last two games. So this lineup not working out all too
That's
well.
That's still shocking to me how that comes out. I did not believe that until you said that. It's like, oh, really?
Yeah. And you saw last night, I actually want to get into this after the break, but the one buyout option is Robin Lopez among multiple centers. But I want to tell you why these guys are going after the likes of Robin Lopez, possibly Gortat and Enes Kanter. That's why these names are being flown around in terms of buyout options. But we will get the thoughts of one Matt Kolsky coming up after the break. He is in Florida. He was
with
Nana Kolsky for her 95th birthday. So we'll get his thoughts on everything next. Stephen Langford and Anna Kagarakis in. Kagarakis, sorry. I can't believe it. I didn't roll the R.
It's okay. Let's try it again.
Anna Kagarakis.
Good job.
And Stephen Langford here, 95.7 The Game.
Now, back to the pregame show on 95.7 The Game, presented by Golden State Lumber. Here's Stephen Langford.
Cousins looks at a three, leaves the ball for Thompson. He'll take a top of the key pass, hit Whiteside in the head. Caroms over to Thompson. It's up and good.
An assist off the head of DeMarcus Cousins. Was that an assist?
I think it was. It's got to be. It's not the prettiest assist, but it's an assist.
Stephen Langford, Anna Kagarakis in here for Matt Kolsky. The pregame show is presented by Golden State Lumber. Join Golden State Lumber for Golden Mornings at the Building Bar for a coffee meet and greet with our product experts. Visit goldenstatelumber.com for dates and more information as we bring on the guy who mainly hosts this show. His name is Matt Kolsky. Hey, Matt, how you doing, man?
Is that even true anymore? I think you mainly host this show now.
Well, I mean, that's for the past couple of days. When you get back from Flowrida, then, you know, it'll be your show again.
Flowrida. Only for one day. Then I just give it right back. It's your show now, Stephen. Do what you will.
Well, the one thing that we wanted to bring you on for was, one, how's the Nana's birthday? Did you have the party or whatever in Florida?
Oh, man, it really went well. Nana did it. She, for 95, she is pretty sharp and still likes to party. So there were like 25 people at a restaurant just singing and eating, and it was really good. And then my father, as he is wont to, whole family sing a parody song about Nana in front of her. So, yeah, it was a good, silly time. Fun was had by all of all ages.
Do we get to hear a little of the parody? Do you remember it at all?
Oh, absolutely not. No. These things are so silly and bad I would never, even if I did remember them, I would never give you even a note of them. I will tell you, it was sung to the tune.
Uh-oh.
What's happening, music?
We're losing you right
now. Oh, no.
We're losing you, Kolsky.
Hold on.
Got to move a little bit. Move to the left a little.
I think something's wrong with my headset.
I still want to find out the secret, though.
I want to know what
95
song.
Years.
I want to know what song they parodied. What is the song? You still there, Kolsky?
The song.
Yeah.
Hear me.
I can hear you now.
Nothing.
Do you hear us?
Son of a gun.
I'll put you on hold, Kolsky, and I'll drop you a little bit. All right, man.
All right.
Unfortunately.
I really want to know what the song is, and I really want to know. I wanted to ask him what the secret to 95 years of life is. I guess we'll never know the secret to life.
We'll keep him on hold for a bit. We'll see if we can get him back. But the main thing that I wanted to ask him about, though, were the buyout candidates. Mm-hmm. And the main ones that are popping up are Robin Lopez. I think he's the ultimate favorite. And last night, I think, showed you why the Warriors need another big man who can protect the rim, can rebound.
Block.
Yeah, not necessarily. You don't need another three-point shooter, although there is Dwayne Dedmon, who's 29 years old. He's from the Hawks. He's been starting for a majority of the season.
Right. Isn't he having like a career year or something right now? He's averaging, I think he was doing really well with like some of his points right now. Like he's been actually doing really well. But I think Robin Lopez, a good thing about bringing in somebody like another big is it's insurance right now for Boogie. And right now you don't necessarily need another big, but because, you know, you also have you have Kevon too. But I just think it's good insurance to bring in somebody like Robin Lopez.
All right. Well, let's see if Kolsky's phone will actually work this time. I had him on hold. I think he's moved. Kolsky, you there, my friend? All right, we're dropping him. So, the other guy that was on the horizon for them was Marcin Gortat or Enes Kanter. Enes Kanter, not exactly a defensive-minded center. He's not going to bang out like he's not going to bang out the opposing center and give him a tough time. So I don't know if you want Enes Kanter around. Plus, you got him in the whole Kevin Durant thing, which holds some weight.
You know what, though? These guys are professionals. They'll put it aside. They'll put aside any issues that they have, I think.
And will they?
I think so. I mean, the guy's got bigger issues when he's dealing with, like, being wanted in Turkey, for goodness
sakes.
Yeah.
That's ultimately true.
Yeah. I mean, when you think of, when you weigh the issues, like, what's a bigger issue? Just some beef, the old beef that you had with KD from a few years ago, or little international issues?
I mean, I think it's still, I don't know if, I think it's Durant that would probably be the one that wouldn't want him on this team, because Enes Kanter is a very, he loves himself some Enes Kanter.
He's very outspoken.
I think is where I'm kind of going with that.
Yeah.
And on this team, it's all about being unselfish and not making it about yourself and being a collective group. And I don't know if, I mean, Kanter, I don't think he's really ever been a part of that, because on OKC, he had Russ and he also had KD. But for the most part, that was just an ISO ball team where Russ or KD were just doing all the damage. And then Kanter would score every now and then. And then in the Knicks, he's trying to make himself almost the primary scorer besides Tim Hardaway Jr. at that time when Hardaway Jr. was part of the team. But it just doesn't make much sense to me to bring Kanter over rather than Lopez.
Yeah, I think Lopez would be a better fit as well, just the chemistry-wise, and you know that he is more of a team player, and I think he's what you're looking for right now for Golden State.
Now, does this tickle your fancy? Okay. Frank Kaminsky from Charlotte.
That one's kind of an interesting
one. Frank the Tank, as they call him.
He's a little bit of a streaky shooter, but I think he's somebody who really wants to prove himself. So it would be kind of interesting to bring in somebody like Frank. Plus, Frank the Tank, you can't beat that.
He hasn't had a season yet that's kind of, because he was such a monster in college when he was with Wisconsin, that whenever you're watching March Madness, I don't know about you, but I only see college teams play during March Madness because there's just so much going on. and you can't watch all these sports at the same time and analyze them appropriately, at least with college basketball, because there's so many other things going on. You got the Sharks going hot right now. They just beat the Edmonton Oilers 5-2, which was sweet, and they're on a tear. I'd recommend anyone who is trying to get into hockey and you want to get into Sharks hockey, do it now.
This is the best time.
Because they're monsters. But Kaminsky has something to prove. And the Warriors, they've been known to be the team that can help a player kind of, I mean, you don't want to say resurrect for Kaminsky, but you don't want to say the other word for Kaminsky either. But you want to get it. You want to get his career started, at least, and, you know, have him make a name for himself. And the Warriors could be the perfect team to do that.
Well, you see what happened with Sean Livingston after going through, you know, his leg injury, the major injury that he had. And he's pretty much, like you said, resurrected his career and what he's done with this team. Andre Iguodala has been somebody who's really who's really done well with this team, even deciding to go to the bench. The fact that he's done that and has really, he's somebody who's really made a lot with his career right now. And Boogie, the whole point of him coming to this team is he knew that he would get the veterans minimum and really work for this team. He knew that this would help him in the long run to get that big payout, to be able to really resurrect his career coming back from a major injury.
Now, the thing with Andre Iguodala is he is quite the glue guy on the bench. He is the one who helps run things when that second unit is in. And at the same time, he's able to run things when the starters are in also to space the floor and get his shooters open. And, you know, he carries the ball out and does all that, does all those things. But does this interest you? Markieff Morris from the Wizards, he could possibly clear waivers and then they could buy him out. And he suffered an injury at the beginning of the season, or in the middle of the season, rather. And he moved to the bench, and he averages 26 minutes a game, 11 points a game, and 5 rebounds, but 43% from the field. And right now, he's averaging more three-point attempts than he's ever shot. He's averaging, I think, like 4 or 5 at this point, when beforehand he would only average about 2. So does Markieff Morris, a forward, a small forward, kind of interest you a little bit? Just to back up Andre Iguodala, who, when he has a hint of an injury, I think personally you should rest him like they did last night. If he's feeling tightness in the hamstring, no need to force it.
Yeah.
But you also need depth at the bench in that forward position when he's not there.
I'm still kind of wondering, though, if we need a big at this point. I think that the Warriors, I think that that's something they still need more insurance right now. And you saw that the team was out-rebounded last night with against the Heat. And I think that's still something that I'd rather be focused on, is looking at bringing in a good big man.
That's what worries me the most, is that you got guys like Hassan Whiteside, who, by the way, have you seen his contracts at all? He got a max from the Heat before, and that was in 2016. This year he's making $25 million. He's about to make $27 million next year. He had a 4-year, $98 million contract. But the thing is, they didn't put him in that closing lineup last night. That's why Cousins was able to get that offensive rebound to ultimately put them ahead. Hassan Whiteside, he's been a disappointment, if any. He's a completely forgotten big man, because when we're talking about Cousins, we're talking about what's next. What's the biggest challenge coming next for him? Whether it's Embiid coming up, Gobert coming up against the Jazz. People seem to forget that Hassan Whiteside, he was a max player, but he's been taken out just because of his attitude, and he's also kind of an airhead. From
have you ever
all
seen
accounts?
Him on Snapchat and Instagram? I mean, he loves himself some Hassan Whiteside.
So
that's completely understandable what you're talking about there.
Yeah, and they need someone else besides Boogie who can at least carry the load when Boogie's not on the floor. And I mean, do you think Kevon Looney can be that guy? Because we saw him against Embiid.
He was monster last night. So he had a great game last night. But the thing is, when he gets too many minutes, like if something, knock on wood, were to happen with Boogie, I think Kevon could step in. But you still don't have, you need somebody else there. I think you need a little bit more, because I think when he plays too many minutes, you don't get the best out of him.
You need that physical center in the middle that can take control of the paint. And besides DeMarcus Cousins, I don't know if you really have that. Jordan Bell, they were hoping he would be that, but they were also hoping that he could, there were some people after his rookie season saying that, ooh, could he be Draymond's replacement at the power forward position? So it's, I mean,
he's been streaky this year.
You think, like, I think center is probably their number one need in terms of buyout options, but Markieff Morris would be an interesting scoring threat if you were to get him.
Yeah, I completely agree with you on that. But then I'm also looking at, you mentioned somebody, Joel Embiid. If you go up against the Sixers, say if you go into, you know, into the finals and you were going up against the Sixers, we saw what it was like when they played that physical of a team with that, you know, with somebody like Joel Embiid over there. That type of a team, they need more physical guys. They need more bigs for if something were to happen with Boogie. So that's where I'm still kind of pushing that we still need for the Warriors to bring in a big man.
From the 925, the All-Star lineup won't work in the playoffs. Boogie gives up defensively and on second-chance rebounding regularly. He's a lazy player. Are we able to seriously mark him as a lazy player when it's only 10 games back?
No, not yet.
We still have a lot of season to go.
There's two games until the All-Star break.
Yeah.
These guys are done. They just want to get to the break and rest right now. These guys have been playing a long time. I know that Boogie has only been playing 10 games right now with the Warriors, but he's coming off a major injury, and he's coming off, you know, just trying to get himself back in the game. And, you know, it does take a lot to get up to where he was before.
From the 925, Philly with Embiid exposed Cousins in the paint. They need, hopefully, add Lopez. Yeah, you know what? As the show is kind of going on and we're talking about this and talking about all the options, seeing last night and also against the Suns, you saw against DeAndre Ayton, he had a pretty monster game too. So, pretty monster game. So, you need a big man, I think is what we're coming down to. And the buyout market seems to favor the big man. You got Marcin Gortat, who's also on the market. You got Greg Monroe. So you got a bunch of veteran guys who anytime you see them on TV, you're shocked because you're like, wow, these guys are still in the NBA. Mm-hmm. They've been here for a while. And then you start spouting off facts about Greg Monroe and Marcin Gortat because you know these random facts about them because they've been in the league for so long. But what could be better than a veteran big man right now?
No, I don't think anything. And right now, you know what's going to be interesting is going up tomorrow against Rudy Gobert, especially after the whole Draymond incident about the crying incident with the All-Star break, with him not being named an All-Star. Mm. So that's somebody who's going to be going hard after the Warriors tomorrow when it comes to play, when it comes to rebounding and having a big man out there. So he's going to be going hard against the Warriors.
I forgot about that.
Yeah.
Yeah, that was a whole thing. But that was a separate incident, right? He wasn't even crying due to the All-Star game. It had to do something to do with family matter or something like that. So,
but still, when you're being called out for that and somebody makes a big deal about it, even if it's not about that, just the idea that he's being made fun of.
It was right away, too. Yeah. It was the All-Star game or the All-Star lineups were announced, and I was on my way home from this shift from work, and I get the update that Draymond and Andre Iguodala clown Rudy Gobert for crying at the All-Star lineup. Do you want to hear something interesting?
Of course.
You want to hear the 2019 offensive ratings for the best players on each team?
Yes, of course.
All right. Nikola Jokic with the Nuggets. Their offensive rating is at about 117 point, or that's their rating per 100 possessions. So they're getting 117 points per 100. With James Harden, it's a little lower than that. It's just over 116. With Giannis, it's 115.
Okay.
With Westbrook, it's about between 115 and 116. With Embiid, just over 114. With LeBron, it's all the way down at 110.
That's a drop.
But with Steph, you know what it's at?
I'm guessing less than 110.
No.
Okay, good.
Just below 122.
Oh, okay.
So,
I was sitting there, I thought you were going in order there. I was like, don't tell me.
Per 100 possessions, Steph is averaging 6 more points with his players on the floor than any of the other best players in the league.
Phenomenal. Absolutely phenomenal.
I mean, how is he not considered in the MVP conversation every single year?
Because he's won unanimous MVP and people are going to say, oh, we don't want to do that again. And it goes to show you that this is a team that has 5 All-Stars in the lineup And that's why they're going to say, well, no, you know, we have they have five All-Stars. This team is winning because they have five All-Stars, not because of Steph. And while a lot of these other teams, they have, you know, they're winning, they're saying because of this player. And even though it is more of a team sport, that's the problem, because they're looking at the whole picture and saying, hey, or they're not really looking at the whole picture. They're looking at the fact that there are five All-Stars in this team.
He's actually, he's
six with Iguodala.
He's averaging 5.2 threes made per game.
Mm-hmm.
And historically, that's far and away the most.
He's phenomenal.
So it's hard to imagine how any other team is going to compete with this squad in a seven-game series, because last night you did not see them playing collectively at their best. You had KD, who had a monster shooting night. You had Klay and Steph, who at this point, these numbers are almost becoming just old hat.
Mm-hmm.
Let me pull them up really quick. 6 for 13 from deep for Klay, and 5 of 10 from deep for Steph. It's old hat now.
It's not impressive normal. Unless they're breaking some type of record or making history, which happens almost every other night, it feels like. So this is each of their individual accomplishments on an average night is a fantastic accomplishment for another team on any other night.
And I'm just having a tough time even looking at, I'm looking at these standings right now, and I'm having a tough time even trying to think of who in the West is even going to compete with them to get to the finals. You got Denver and Oklahoma City and Portland. Those are the top four teams. You don't know if any of those other three are going to be sustainable.
Now, Denver's going to give them a little bit of trouble,
right,
but they'll be able to get past them. It's going to be more looking into the East. They're one game back right now of the Bucks, right now for overall NBA standings. And the East has just gotten so much better, especially after the trade deadline and everything. So it's going to be fun this year having albeit if the Warriors obviously go to the finals as expected, it's going to be fun because it wouldn't be just another LeBron matchup again. It's going to be something different. It's going to be a fun, different team. It's going to be, and these teams are really vying to get there in the East.
Mm. So Joe Lowe and Dibs, Joe's back today.
Welcome
by
back,
the way.
Joe.
And so Mark Medina will join them at 7. Then Kalena Azubuki will be in studio at 9 o'clock. But they will also be joined by John Morosi at 8:30. And then Steiny and Guru are going to be joined by Bob Nightingale at 11:30. And if you know anything about those guys, they are the baseball insiders to follow. Which brings me over to the Giants. You
Woo-hoo.
See, now, I wanted to ask you this question. Because Buster Posey, he's making the rounds on Twitter nowadays.
All of a sudden. He's kind of a quiet guy, but now he's kind of making it.
Coming out of the woodwork. So, MLB Network, they posted a tweet saying Gabe Kapler said the Phillies are in win right now mode. Then Posey responded, great news for Phillies fans, but shouldn't every team be in win right now mode? What is the point in showing up if you're not trying to win? Thankful for being in an organization that wants to win.
Or so he thinks.
I don't think they are showing that they want to win. I think it's been pretty clear that they are looking to hopefully rebuild, but at the same time, there weren't any. That's what was made pretty clear at the beginning before the offseason even got started, is like, hey, Brandon Belt's possibly going to get traded, Joe mm-hmm. Panik possibly. So we thought they were going to be in rebuild mode, but are they in win right now mode?
It depends on what they do with Bryce Harper. If they do what's reported, that potentially they would offer a short-term deal to Bryce Harper, a higher deal for the shorter amount of time, that they could be in win mode now, because why would you bring in somebody like Bryce Harper on a short-term deal
right. If
you're not trying to win? Because that would just be, that would go against everything, against the whole idea of tanking per se, or really trying to rebuild this team and trying to get younger and bring in, different players in. But if you bring in Bryce Harper, that's kind of showing that, yeah, we are going to try to win right now. And I do like the idea of a short-term deal for Bryce Harper, because that gives you an idea of, let's work with what we have right now. We will build eventually, but you got to keep this core together to really try right now.
Maybe at this point, we saw that we've been waiting for Brandon Crawford and Brandon Belt mm-hmm. and Joe Panik, who at one point was hitting at a 300 average. So right. he was playing up to snuff, but we've been waiting this entire time for the past, since 2014. So the past 5 years for these guys to break out and become all-stars. And a lot of people were done with the waiting and they became impatient. And so when we thought Farhan Zaidi was coming in, that he was just going to tear down the whole team. But is it possible that Zaidi might just have some hope for this squad now that he's come over here and he's talked to these players and understood where they're at mentally and going forward? I mean, it doesn't seem like, according to Buster Posey, that they're in give up mode at this point.
Not at all.
So do you think maybe Farhan just has faith in these players to get at least more than 73 wins or whatever their win total's at this year or what it's projected to be?
If he brings in Bryce Harper, then yes, because maybe he didn't get the deal that he wanted for somebody like a Madison Bumgarner at the winter meeting. So if this is a whole idea of let's see how it goes for the first half of the season. If it works out, great. If not, we could trade and then rebuild from there. Get a little excitement going early on in the season. So it's going to be kind of one of those waiting games, but I think it comes down to Bryce Harper, what kind of a deal. And I do like the idea of a short-term instead of a long-term deals, because you could still rebuild if you don't sign a long-term deal. As soon as you sign a long-term deal, you're going with the whole idea of, I'm not going to rebuild this team. I'm just going to stick with an old team and see what happens.
Yeah, and I'm not going to act like I know what baseball players are thinking, but I imagine that they're not just going to take a long-term deal with a brand-new team where they don't even know what it's like.
Yeah.
And, you know, what if he doesn't like AT&T Park after all? If they give him like a 10-year, $300 million deal, which he already rejected from the Phillies. I mean, what if he just, you know, comes over here and is just like, not a fan. And then another team has to take on the contract.
Mm-hmm. Is he regretting that now?
I mean, so look, John Morosi, he's going to join the guys coming up 8:30. He'll have all the latest on it. We have 10 seconds. Anything you want to get in?
Ooh, let's see. I had a great weekend. Grammys, good shout out for Dolly Parton, by the way, at the Grammys.
And Will Smith looks like he should be in the Blue Man Group in Aladdin. Jolo and Dibs coming up.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.